Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PainReliefRadio.com. This is your host, Catherine Merrow, the Pain Relief Coach. Today is Thursday, February 25th, and we are broadcasting live from beautiful Michigan, the Great Lakes State, where it is sunny again every Thursday. Today we're going to be talking with author and muscle expert Ginny Maddox. We're going to talk about hip pain. What causes pain in your hip? Where is your hip? And what are natural things that you can do, natural ways to get hip pain relief? Today's sponsor is backpainnaturalrelief.com, backpainnaturalrelief.com. Remember, I'm not a doctor, and Ginny's not a doctor. I'm the pain relief coach, and Ginny is an expert who knows so much about bodies. You can always get more information at simplepainrelief.com and sign up for your free Simple Pain Relief newsletter at simplepainrelief.com. The hip joint is the bone that you can feel on the outside of your very upper leg. Some people feel as though they have pain in the hip joint. Some people feel that the pain is more vague. It's somewhere in their gluteal muscles or their big, powerful butt muscles. But if you drop your, or even in your low back, but if you drop your hand down at your side, you can probably feel the bone somewhere along your lower arm or your wrist. That's your hip joint. Depends how long your arm is. If you don't have too much meat on your hip, you might be able to move your leg and feel the bone in there moving. That's the top of your leg bone, and that's your hip joint. Muscles and tough tissues cross over this joint. Sometimes the bursa, which is a little pocket of lubrication for the joint, gets irritated. Your doctor might tell you you have bursitis. That can go away on its own if you stop doing whatever was irritating it. Ginny's going to help us understand the things that might be irritating it. Sometimes the muscles get aggravated, and lots of times people think they might need a hip replacement when all they really need is maybe some good self-help home care or some really good therapeutic massage to release the muscles and the tissues which have become tight around this joint. This includes the butt muscles, which are very powerful muscles. They're also called the gluteal muscles or the glutes. They attach to the hip joint, and if they get tight, they will pull too much across the joint and cause discomfort in your hip area, low back area, gluteal area. Our author who's with us today, Ginny Maddox, spelled G-I-N-I-M-A-D-D-O-C-K-S, Ginny Maddox, is the author of a really good little book on rescue and relief. It's called R&R, Rescue and Relief for Computer Users and Those at Risk of Repetitive Motion Injury. And you can find it at Ginny's website, www.holisticmatters.net. That is spelled H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, Holistic Matters, M-A-T-T-E-R-S.net. Ginny has a tremendous repertoire of activities behind her. She's an author, she's a speaker, she's a stress management educator and expert, she's a licensed medical massage therapist. She just knows a whole lot about bodies and self-help tips and health tips, and she's going to help us today. Hi, Ginny, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much, and thank you for all your spelling. That's very helpful because my mother did kind of, I think she was being creative, but confused a lot of people with all those spellings. I probably should have stayed a Smith. It's easier that way. But, you know, one of the biggest things that I think we could list to my expertise is I'm a human being with aches and pains of my own, and much of what I understand about the body along with the education is what I feel personally. And like most people, you're driven to take care of something when it hurts. And many of us have, let's face it, you know, right off the bat, one of the biggest problems with hip pain is we sit too much.
Yes. Yes. My dear friend Rosalie had so much hip pain that she was not able to walk. She was crawling up her stairs. She hardly ever went out of her house because her hips hurt so badly. And the reason was because she had the sitting disease. She was sitting for over 20 years in an office job, and then she would come home every day, and she would sit to eat dinner, and she would sit to watch TV, and she would maybe sit at the computer, and then she would go to bed, and she'd do it again the next day.
Right, right. And they think, well, I'm not doing anything. Bingo!
Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
I can't tell you how many times I've had people come in, Ginny, and tell me that I didn't do anything.
Exactly. You just answered your own question.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, I would like, while we're talking about that, if people right now would take a moment to feel how they're sitting. How are you sitting right this minute? What is your posture like? And, you know, most people, and I'm one of those people, likes to cross their legs. Well, I'm not going to tell you right this minute to uncross them. I want everybody to look at how your legs look as you're sitting in that position. And is one side of your leg longer than the other? And if, for instance, you're sitting with your legs crossed, I'm sitting with my left leg over my right leg, so the outside of my left leg is much longer than the inside of my left leg in this position.
So it's being stretched on the outside, but it's getting short on the inside.
And even though it's stretching, that would make you, I mean, that wouldn't be so very, very bad if our nervous system didn't send a message to the brain that says, this is stretched too far, I want you to contract now. And so when that muscle gets this little message that I'm supposed to contract, you've got the right side, which is shortened, and it's in a passive contraction because it is shortened to be in that position. Then you've got the left side, which is overstretched, but being told, this is too, you're being stretched too far, I want you to contract now. So then you've got contraction going on both sides. It's like playing a tug of war.
Yes, yes, two different kinds of contraction.
And then when you're talking about these bursa sacs, they're deep, deep within the joint. And any kind of imbalance is going to impinge on those bursa sacs. And one of the things that drives me a little crazy, even in massage school, was they would say, you can't impact bursitis. Well, don't you believe it? Because you certainly can. You just can't get right to it and touch it. But you can impact it and you can de-stress the area if you know what to do. And that's what we're here to help people figure out.
Well, you know, Ginny, that's very true because there are a lot of tissues and areas that we cannot get to directly by pressing on the body or massaging the body. However, we're still impacting them because we're causing some pressure from the outside, which translates through toward the center of the body.
It's actually pretty simple if people would just, you know, when they can understand how to think about it, because when you equalize the position, like I just uncrossed my legs. Well, that was huge. It doesn't sound huge, but to that bursa sac, I just changed its world. I just changed.
I love the way you said that.
I did. I just made such a difference on the internal workings of that joint just by that simple movement. And we can take it from there. When we realize that over and over and over these positions are causing these habits that are causing this pain, we can take measures then to basically rub what hurts, stretch what's tight. And I mean it in that order. For a long time, there was confusion. Do I stretch? Do I rub? When do I stretch? Do I stretch before when I first get up? Well, pretty much now, common sense has caught up with what people are telling the proper protocol as being, and that is warm up the tissue before you stretch it. Warm up the tissue before you stretch.
Doesn't
have to be a big deal. It's nice if you can go get a massage, but that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about friction. We're talking about taking your hand, taking your fist. I have the most wonderful new self-care tool. I'm so excited about it. And I bet most people have it in their kitchen. Can you guess what I'm talking about?
I'm going to guess. I was going to think a tennis ball, but now I'm going to guess it's a rolling pin.
I love rolling pins. Rolling pins. Take those. I mean, we only use them twice a year, most of us anyway, for the pumpkin pies.
Uh-huh.
So I'm now starting to say these things are for thighs and pies and more. And I've started going to Goodwill stores, and I'm buying up people's thrown away rolling pins, and I'm painting them these wild psychedelic colors. Because they give a broad stroke and they help you reach places that you can't reach.
Uh-huh.
Particularly, you and I know it as the tensor fasciata and the iliotibial band, which is basically the outer edge of the from the hip running down to the knee.
Yeah, it's the outside of the thigh.
Well, that is the hardest place to stretch. I mean, we don't do anything in our normal daily activity that's going to get to that. And people don't know how. I mean, it's rigid almost because it's not very vascular and it doesn't stretch easily. It's thick and fibrous. Well, these rolling pins do a beautiful job getting that all softened up. So I'm suggesting go get your rolling pin right now while we're talking, everybody. Keep it in your desk. You can put it in your car for long trips. I just think they're the cat's meow.
Oh, do you know you just gave me another idea when you said put it in your car, and that would be wrap something for a little bit of padding around it, like a towel, and use it as a lumbar support.
Ah, great idea. And you can take it, the ends of it, and use it to get to trigger points really easily.
Oh.
The leverage is delicious.
Now, I would like to point out, we do have a glass rolling pin, and that's probably not the kind, it's an old one, and that's probably not the kind for people to be applying pressure to. So you're talking about these nice wooden ones.
And what's that company that makes the plastic ones?
Plastic ones?
Yeah, you know, they're the ones, Tupperware.
Oh.
Tupperware makes one with an empty roller so that you put water in it and stick it in the freezer because that makes rolling out pie dough better.
Yeah, that was the idea behind the glass ones, I think.
Well, they're plastic, and they make a great ice massage tool.
Ah.
So when you have inflammation, you can use this as an ice massage tool. I mean, I am really excited about this.
That's really, I'm going to hit the resale stores and see if I can find a Tupperware plastic one.
Who knew? You can get your lower back, you can get your glutes, you can get inner thighs, upper thighs, outer thighs, calves. It's really marvelous.
You are like an ice genius.
Yeah, well, you got to do what works, you know, especially when you live alone. Many of us live alone, and, you know, we don't have anyone we can bargain with or cajole into giving us some trigger therapy work, which really means, you know, for those of people who are schooled in trigger therapy, of course, there are particular places that relate to particular issues, but anyone can find them because they are spots that hurt.
Well,
spots that hurt.
Yes. And sometimes I do tell people, you've got to find a skilled massage therapist, and that doesn't mean any old massage therapist, because some only do really nice relaxation sessions.
Right.
But they don't, they just haven't had the training, or they don't care to do any other type of work, medical or deep or therapeutic massage. So,
that's a good point.
Yeah, so I do have articles at Simple Pain Relief under massage, under the massage category, so people can go there and find out how to get a massage therapist who can actually help them if there are things that they cannot do for themselves at home. Some parts of our body are easier to reach, and some people have enough muscle and enough strength and enough wellness to reach some areas, and others of us just don't.
Right.
So knowing that there's somebody out there who can help us, because most of the time if you go to your doctor, they are not trained in muscle therapy.
Right.
They want to have time to do it anyway, and they didn't learn it in medical school, hardly any of them.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on lamenting over that.
Yeah, we could. But we don't like to lament. We like to move ahead.
Yeah, it was basically a waste of time. It was just it gives us a profession that is as wide as it is deep. And speaking of deep, maybe you could talk a little bit more about, I liked when you were talking about the very joint of the hip. And, you know, people may not know how that joints are sites where muscles cross.
Yes, that's how we're able to move.
Yeah.
We couldn't move, we couldn't bend our elbow or a finger or turn our neck or lift our leg if there were not muscles passing over joints.
Right.
That's how we move. A muscle is attached to a bone on either side of a joint.
Yep.
And that's how we move. Muscles help us to move. We can't, our bones couldn't move if we had no muscles.
That's right.
They're going nowhere.
That's right. Bag of bones. We'd just be a bag of bones.
Yep. We wouldn't even be hanging together like those pretty skeletons do.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so you need muscles, and muscles are great, and muscles are logical, and bodies are logical. However, when your muscles get unhappy, like the tough ones on the outside of the thigh that Ginny was talking about, they get unhappy, they get a little tight, and they go into their own certain kind of contraction, and they're going to cause pain on your hip or in your joint because they're pulling over the joint. Whenever the muscles that cross over the joint get tightened, then they cause compression or pressure in that joint. So they can actually cause pain in the joint. Now, sometimes it's something like a leg length difference, which is causing pain in just one hip joint. And sometimes people do things like they stick out their hip every time they stop and stop moving. They just stick out their hip. There's a lot of that in my family. I think we must all be built the same way. And after a while, everything around the joint gets aggravated and starts to cause pain. Now, you might have low back pain because the muscles in your thick butt muscles, those are thick, powerful, strong muscles, those gluteal muscles, they're pulling on your hip bone where it is below your waist, and that causes the muscles above your waist to get pulled on, too, simply because it's all attached.
Right. And, you know, I hear people, so many people present themselves with, they'll say they have stiffness in the morning, a stiff hip in the morning, and they can't stand up straight until they walk around and stretch for several minutes. I bet you hear that a lot, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is that often that's so easy to work with because it's very often that's just where you were explaining to people to how to locate their hip. And I would warn people that there's two protrusions on the side of your body in that general area, and the higher one is going to be your pelvis. And to come down a little bit lower, we're all built differently. You know, a lot of people, that protrudes even further. Some of us, that's not the widest place in our bodies, and we might think the widest place is our hips, but it might actually be our pelvis. That's the case with me. So I have to go a little bit further down to find my hip bone. But when you move your leg, you'll feel you're on the right spot. That's how you'll know, is that when you're moving your leg, you're going to feel it move. But I have found that if people will find what hurts right where you were telling them to put their fingers, and if they will press on that to a pain level of about 7 on a 10 scale, and just hold that for about a minute. I mean, a minute probably seems like a long time when you're just holding something. But if you hold it to that degree of pain for about a minute and do it about 6 to 12 times a day, sometimes you'll never have that symptom again. Wonderful, really. It's a wonderful technique and not that hard.
Get that rolling pin out.
That rolling pin. You can reach that way.
Now, here's another helpful thing that I have discovered and have been using a lot. In fact, I ran across one of my old articles, and I thought, I was having hip pain, because that's what I said in the article, because I have now. You know, because bodies are smart. If we don't do what our body doesn't like and do what our body does like, we can get rid of our pain.
Yes.
You know, our listeners, their bodies don't want to have pain. They want to feel better. And I want to remind people who they're listening to, this is Ginny Maddox and Catherine Merrow at painreliefradio.com. And we are not doctors, but we are both pain relief experts, muscle specialists, if you will. So what I have started doing a lot, and I love it, when I'm in bed, and I love exercises that you can do in bed. Laying in bed on my back, swishing my foot from side to side like a windshield washer.
Okay, so you've got your legs extended down.
My legs are down.
Okay.
Heel is on the bed.
Okay.
Moving my foot from side to side like a windshield washer. And at first, somebody's muscles in their leg and their lower leg or upper leg might start to feel a little tired. So if you can only do it 2 or 4 times or 10 times, that's fine. In just a week or two, you're going to be able to do it indefinitely long. And by doing that, you are moving your hip joint. And if you don't believe me, just tuck your hip under the top of your leg bone as you swish your foot from side to side, and you will feel that top of the leg bone moving. Well, the top of the leg bone is plugged into your hip joint, and that hip joint, that's your pelvic bone, and that pelvis attaches to your spine, and your spine goes all the way up to your neck. So not only are you helping relax your hip joints, but even your neck.
Ooh.
Yeah. After
go ahead.
Do one leg and then just assess how that leg feels. See how that hip feels. See how that leg feels. It's going to be a little warm, a little buzzy.
Oh, I like warm and buzzy.
Yeah, we like warm and buzzy.
Now, if you were sitting, let's say, on a recliner, would you still get the hip action? Or do you need to be lying flat?
I don't sit in a recliner. Do you know why I like but you'd probably get the hip action because your foot is supported, even if your foot wasn't, your calf is. But when you're on your back, there's no gravity pulling on anything.
Mm.
So all of your joints the gravity is pulling you down. That's why you're
right.
not floating away. But it's not compressing your joints or your spine.
Good point.
So when you're laying on your back, it's allowing some space to occur in your joints and even in your spine and even in your neck. Your body is supported. You're not supporting it. Gravity's not pulling you down, squashing you toward your feet. Rather, your body is able to spread out.
And another thing that comes to mind when you're saying this lovely exercise is, and this is the thing I love about joints, is there's a natural lubrication that accompanies movement in the joints.
Yeah.
So when people, you know, it's a big rage now, and probably it's a good idea. People are taking chondroitin and glucosamine, and part of that is to rebuild the soft tissue that occurs in the joint as cushioning, and it's the way these joints are set up so that they work properly. And over time, we don't always, nutritionally, we probably are not supporting that system, or whatever the reason, maybe age. There are many reasons why that lubrication doesn't happen as well as it should. But movement deep in the joint will stimulate a bath of fluid that will circulate within that joint and give you the support that you're supposed to have, like a well-oiled machine.
Yes, and that's why I like that windshield washer with the foot. Actually, I do it in a few more steps. I first do only to one side, and then I let it rest for 10 seconds. And then I do only to the other side, and then I let it rest for 10 seconds. Then I do the whole windshield washer, and then I let it rest for 10 seconds before I move on to the other leg. When we're resting between movement, it allows your body to change. Sometimes
yes.
We just need to relax to allow the body to change. So it's not, hurry up, do this, hurry up, do that. Okay, am I changed yet?
And, you know, really, when people are thinking about this, it's the nervous system. We take time. There is a time lapse between movement and signal to the brain and signal to the brain back to the muscle. So when you do that rest, you're actually giving your nervous system time to make those messages clear.
Yes.
Yeah, it's lovely. That's what I like about yoga, is the slowness that it takes to really make it so that you're not just using momentum to get you to the next step.
Yes, and walking is very good for those hip joints too.
If you're walking correctly.
If you were walking correctly. Earlier when I mentioned my friend Rosalie, who had so much hip pain, she doesn't have hip pain anymore.
Ooh, you tell.
Yeah, good job. She walks, and I'm so proud of her, and she walks, and she walks. She does Nordic walking and everything.
Wow.
She didn't expect her doctors to say, oh, Rosalie, that's a good idea, when she asked them about walking. She thought they would say no because she's a diabetic. And they said, oh, Rosalie, that's the best thing you could do. And she thought, rats. But you know, all she could do was walk in her house, and then she started walking in her yard, and now she walks and walks because she's moving those hips, lubricating them. Sometimes there's been so much long-term damage to a hip joint that a hip replacement is the only real answer sometimes. But more often, getting in there and working those tight muscles much more often, just releasing and relaxing all those muscles around the hip joint, the pelvic area, is going to get rid of that hip pain.
And you might as well find out first if that does it. Then if it doesn't, if you really do, you know, sometimes they can tell on x-rays that there's just no saving it. Again, don't revert to the behavior that caused that problem. And right now we're discussing inactivity. If you don't change your ways, getting that hip replacement is not going to do anything for the muscles that are giving you pain.
That caused it in the first place.
Right.
Yeah,
you've got
exactly.
to change. And embrace the change. My gosh, it's wonderful to move.
Jenny, I knew we were going to run out of time again. We always do. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I want to thank our listeners for joining me today at painreliefradio.com. Next week, join me on Thursday, March 4th at 1 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking about foot pain. Today's sponsor is backpainnaturalrelief.com. You can get in touch with Jenny at holisticmatters.net, holisticmatters.net. Remember, I'm not a doctor. I'm the pain relief coach. For more information about getting rid of your aches and pains and other symptoms, naturally go to simplepainrelief.com. Jenny, I loved having you here today.
Thank you. Everybody, go get your rolling pins.
Rolling pins. We're out there.
Thank you.